Well, welcome back to Reflections. Jorge Gonzalez. We were talking about complexity, and I said we would be moving on to, Iran, and the page announcing, you know, the new peace pacto de paz that has been supposedly reached will be signed on Friday. Those on the, I don't know if those on the repeat program on Friday will already have the news, but the announcement in the Nuevo Día, again, the same page, Putin and Zelensky hablan con Trump. You know, Putin and Zelensky both are talking to Trump. And Zelensky is saying that, you know, he congratulated him for his 80th birthday and quite grateful to the president, you know, for the help that he's given Ukraine. And he says that they discussed things among them that he could help, what he could do to help the peace come forward. And he let Trump know that in his position, Ukraine on the Eastern Front was strengthening and improving his position, which is what we discuss and I think is what we're hearing all over. So let's see. Sometimes, though, that could be the worst. You know, Putin has the kind of armaments that can completely destroy Ukraine. But what kind of a victory would that be? Well, in any case, but let's go to the complexity of the Iran. There was an article in Foreign Affairs, and they, you know, every once in a while they kind of pop it up into your email, you know, and so I received this today, but it was an article of April 9th, as I said. It was called How a Ceasefire Can Lead to Disaster, the Gulf War's Lessons, What to Do and Not to Do in Iran. And I started reading it, wait, April 9th? You know, why are they sending this thing? And the authors are Daniel Chardrell, Chardell, a postdoctoral fellow at the Clements Center for National Security at the University of Texas at Austin. He's going to a forthcoming book on the diplomatic history of the Gulf War. So, you know, spending a lot of time reflecting on that. And the other author is Samuel Helfont, H-E-L-F-O-N-T, an associate professor in the Naval War College program at the Naval Postgraduate School and a visiting fellow at the Hoover Institution. And he's the author of Iraq Against the World, Saddam, America, in the post-Cold War order. So these two are really knowledgeable as to our experience in Kuwait and in Iraq. We're starting in Kuwait and then later on, so from 91 on. And the basic article is that if we're not careful, we could end up in what happened in Iraq. And the main thing was that they demonize Saddam and kind of could not deal with him and therefore, you know, required boots on the ground and the quagmire that we got into. And the basic premise from the article is that if they had been willing to work with Saddam and not insist on a regime change initially, later on we got rid of Saddam, but even then, you know, we remained in the quagmire. If we had dealt with Saddam and not demonized him, so it had to be taken out, we would have, you know, been successful. And so basically that's what they're saying with respect to the United States. Of course, we got into the where we are. They're saying, it says the United, let me go here. It says Trump must be prepared to take yes for an answer from Tehran. It says the deal that finally ends the war would likely resemble the logic of the equivalent struck in 1991. In exchange for sanctions relief, Iran would agree to dismantle its nuclear program, limit its weapon development, and end its support for proxies, in addition to reopening the Strait of Hormuz. Trump will need to make clear to the American people and allies that if Iran complies with its demands, Washington will work to build trust and offer a path towards normalization for Tehran. This would be a tough sell politically, to be sure. In the 1990s, Bush and Clinton had painted themselves into a political corner. It says, and he's quoting, Clinton says, if I weren't constrained by the press, I would pick up the phone and call the son of a bitch, Clinton candidly told British Minister Tony Blair in 1998. But that is such a heavy-laden decision in America. I can't do that. Trump will have to expend political and diplomatic capital to convince those at home and abroad who would only be satisfied with a regime change. If there is a silver lining to Trump's unpredictability, it is his unusual propensity to take unpopular stances when he deems whichever path it takes. The United States will face considerable challenges, even at the height of its post-Cold War power. Washington failed to translate its militarily decisive war against Iraq into long-term regional peace and stability. Perhaps the most important difference between 1991 and today is that the United States no longer enjoys its status as the world's sole superpower. A prolonged campaign to contain Iran after this war would lay bare the limits of U.S. power in an era increasingly defined by the capacities of its friends and foes to challenge it. To avoid repeating the disasters that followed the misguided policy toward Iraq, Trump must be prepared to do what leaders could not do in the 1990s, take yes for an answer from even the most dislikable foe. this is in April, April 9, so early on. I think it's probably what we're going to be seeing. One way or another, as we work it out, that's probably what we're going to be seeing. And it's tough. But, complex. I initially, I was discussing at the beginning when this started, my wife and our trip to Iran and how Iran's going to be very complex. I said it was a cat, very sly and very, very, very wise and a long history. And it was going to be a big country with a lot of people. It was going to be tough. This article, going into history is really important to know what we shouldn't repeat. And these two guys, authors, I think, have it on. Let's see what happens. One thing that people might think aren't focusing on as much as they should is some of the side effects of this war, where wedges have been, Iran, besides its, we all know, that the regime change was not going to happen. Probably strengthen the regime. We discussed that. We know that, in terms of its nuclear situation, enriching uranium, we're probably going to be similar to where we were when the agreement back in 2015. And, they were tough negotiators. Trump has acknowledged that, verbally on a number of occasions. But in addition to that, there's a couple of wedges of things that Iran has accomplished with this thing besides these obvious ones. He's driven a wedge between Trump and the U.S. With Israel. Israel is not accepting the pact. Is continuing to, sabotage the peace plan with its attacks on Hezbollah in Lebanon, and the U.S. the population in terms of its popularity of Israel is going down, and Trump is, and the administration is upset with Netanyahu. So, there's a wedge that Iran has been developing, which is very powerful. Consequence you know, favorable for Iran and unfavorable, I believe, for Israel. So we'll see on that. Another wedge that's been developing, Iran has been achieving, is between, you know, within the Trump base, the MAGA movement. There's a huge differences of opinion on this thing. Tremendous diversity of it. So there's a wedge there. There's a wedge that's been driven, started, but just widening that between Trump and Europe. It, you know, started with Greenland and Trump's attack on NATO and Trump's position on Ukraine versus the Europe's position and all these kinds of things. This has widened that. That Gulf, it's gonna, you know, that's to Iran's benefit, and among the Middle Eastern Arabian countries, he's driven a wedge. They're not in unity. United Arab Emirates split off on OPEC, and the consequences of this war has been devastating on. On a lot of these countries, we had for next year the international convention in Dubai, and it was canceled. United Arab Emirates, and you know, almost about a year and three months before it was canceled. So it's got to be all kinds of these things. The Live Golf thing has been. Put aside, and I don't know where those golfers are going to be. So a lot of side things have been happening in the Middle East, the Arabian countries there, and then there's the reduction in the reliance on the trust that they have now on the U.S. being able to defend them. These are, in fact, now thinking about it, drove a wedge between the U.S., the Pope, and the U.S., the administration at least, and some of them, you know, in terms of the Pope's statements have gotten pretty tough. And so a lot of things have not been good with respect to this war for the U.S., and we'll see what ends up on it, but it's not going to be, I don't think, too much different from what was there back in 2015 after all this turmoil and all. A couple of good things, you know, in terms of it. Well, you know, there's an article by Vicente Feliciano, the economist. This came out on the 8th of June, and La Exención en el Acta, the Jones Act exemption, and it kind of indicates that because of the Jones Act is supposedly for national security in case we have to go to war, and we've gone to war and we put an exemption from the Jones Act. So hopefully, I don't think any change is going to be made, but at least it shows that the reason for its existence is not correct in that. It really was beneficial for the U.S. and certainly for Puerto Rico and Hawaii and Alaska that we don't have railroads and trucking. So maybe something will happen there, but at least it's shown again that the Jones Act is not a national security. The reasoning is not very good. And in terms of the Jones Act, we know that one of the exemptions is the cruise industry. And, you know, it's been one of the good things in Puerto Rico. We've broken records. It's up to 1.827 passengers. We did have, again, infrastructure. I think Norwegian Airlines, I think it was. The home base was canceled, and hopefully that will spring into action, you know, some movement on creating the piers that we need to do. So that came out, let's see, when was the, also the 8th of June. Yeah, excuse me, though. The article on how we're doing on the on the news, New Passengers came out on the 10th of June. But on the 8th of June, subsequent to the Norwegian cruise line cancellation, an article in the first phase of evaluating, you know, three more piers. So let's see. Again, infrastructure, planning, acting. those are words on. I was going to get into the sporting world quickly. You know, Argentina and what the team's doing well. Argentina won. Guy with Messi doing what's called a hat trick in hockey and in soccer, three goals. Well, it's Happy Father's Day. Be with your kids, your grandchildren, your children. Pay attention to them. Each one is an individual. Each one requires you to have compassion and to take action to help each one on their individual needs. Okay? So be a good father and take care. We'll see you next week.
Allegro WIPR 91.3 FM was proud to present Reflections, hosted by Jorge Gonzalez, reflecting on events with our well-being in mind.